Good morning. Hello. It's good to see you this morning. We're going to get my voice all dialed in. If you can keep a secret this morning, I'm going to tell you something. You all are my favorites that are here this morning. So the ones that aren't here, don't tell them I told you. But it is so good to see you that are here this weekend. As Pastor Ryan said, you know, everyone's leaving town. Thanks for not leaving town. And thanks for being here. Woohoo! But I'm excited for the word. I just got to say, worship was great. And man, Shayla's got some pipes. Huh? Man! That was great. So thanks for serving. Pretty awesome. Well, I'm excited to bring the word and to share on this holiday weekend. And just so excited for the things that God's doing in our hearts and our midst. He's moving and he's changing lives, and it's exciting to be a part of that. You know, I think we can take for granted that we get to come to church each week and worship freely. In some countries, we don't get to do that. In some countries, our lives would be ended for doing this. And so I'm just grateful that we live in a country that's free. And as we all know, hopefully most of you are getting a three-day weekend. I'm probably going to barbecue, but that's not why we have the three-day weekend. But we're remembering and we're honoring those who ultimately gave the highest price for freedom, right, their lives. But more than that, we're honoring those who have served our country. We're honoring those who said, you know, I'm going to sacrifice potentially my life so that we could continue to enjoy the freedoms, like barbecuing on a Monday and different things, so that, you know, so we could do that and many other freedoms. And so today we honor our veterans. We honor those who have fallen. And I hope that you remember their sacrifice this weekend as you're doing whatever you're going to do. You know, in John 15:13, it's a famous scripture, but it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for friends. And that's when I think about our servicemen and women. When they've died for people that they didn't know. They died for their friends, and that's great love. And so if you've served in the military at all, we honor you today. You know, the Bible says to give honor where honor is due. And I think our servicemen and women deserve honor. And so can we, I don't know in this room, but if you served in the military, could you stand and so we can honor you today? If you served at any branch of our military, I don't know how many, there's several. We honor you. We honor your sacrifice. We honor your service. Thank you for serving our country. Yeah. And I know most of them don't like the attention. Some do. One in particular might. We love you, Michael. Yeah, you know who I'm looking at. But we honor your sacrifice. You know, as I was thinking about the message and thinking about Memorial Day, I couldn't help but think about a lot of the famous battles that our military have fought. As we've been talking for the last several weeks, and we're going to talk today about a little bit about a war story in the Bible. But I was thinking about all the famous battlefields through the history of American war, and they're not things to celebrate, but I want to lay a foundation just in honor of Memorial Day and just with our service. You may recognize some of these, but the first one I want to look at this morning is from the Revolutionary War. This is Lexington. If you were in high school and not listening during history lesson, I'll give you the 1 minute version, but this is the battle that we get where Paul Revere was notified that the Redcoats were coming, right? Remember the story? The Redcoats are coming, the Redcoats are coming. And he was able to go before and prepare and warn. And people say without that warning that the British most likely would have been able to really cripple the forces before the war even really started. And so this is Lexington, one of the most famous battles out of the Revolutionary War. All our kids are taught. The second one we'll go to is, many of you have maybe been here I have not been here. I'd love to go here at some point. Gettysburg, right? This is the Civil War, the bloodiest battle of the Civil War. Over 50,000 soldiers were killed in the matter of like 3 days. Probably cousins and brothers fighting against each other. This is one of the most famous battles in the Civil War. So there's what it might look like today. The next one, I've been here. Pearl Harbor. Man, if you haven't been, it's just a humbling experience to go. And man, a lot of lives were lost. And this is the battle that really pushed the United States to enter the Second World War, was that day in December 1941. You know, I know people that have lost loved ones and that are buried down below. This next one is from the same war. This is on the shores of Normandy in France. I think I was reading a statistic, and they said the men that were coming out of the boats, the average lifespan was like under 10 seconds from when those doors opened. You know, a lot of lives were lost on these shores. You just look at the terrain, and you can see that it's going to present a challenge. This next one is—it's not necessarily a famous war, but out of the Vietnam War, probably the most controversial battle, right? Hamburger Hill. Over 400 American soldiers were killed, and again, a lot of controversy around this fight here. And again, many of you may know people that lost their lives in the Vietnam War and in this war. The last one I want to go to this morning might look a little different. But this is the second battle of Fallujah in 2004. This was really the first major engagement of the Iraq War that the Americans were fighting just against the insurgents and the rebels. One of the bloodiest battles of the whole Iraq War. And again, I know people that were here, and you do as well. But all of these wars, as we're thinking about Memorial Day, are important dates in our history. They're important dates in our military history and the history of our freedom and the history of our country. And I hope that we never forget the battles that were fought at these sites. Over the last month or so as a church, we've been talking about calling. I hope you've enjoyed as we've been talking about being called by a father. And what does it mean to be called by a father? Last week, if you didn't listen to the message, Pastor Ryan spoke and just knocked it out of the park, just blew it away, just talking about coming alive to your destiny. And I hope that you were challenged. I hope that you came alive to dreams that have been in your heart for a long time. And I hope that God awoken those things in you last week. But today, the title of my message is called, and I'm going to read it because I'm going to tongue-tie it if I don't, Ordinarily Extraordinary. Okay, that's the title of my message today, Ordinarily Extraordinary. I don't know about you, but when I start talking about destiny, when I start talking about calling, when you start talking about the dreams and the plans that God has for your life, I immediately in my mind go to these big days. Anyone else do that? In my mind, I'm always thinking about big days. I look back over my life and I think about big days like my wedding day. I will always remember my wedding day, and I have pictures, unfortunately, to prove how cool I was in 2005. Man, that's embarrassing, right? But so are yours if you look at your picture, your wedding pictures as well. But I look back over these. We have a photo album, right? Nowadays, I don't even know if you get a photo album. You get, like, digital pictures. We have a photo album, and we were rocking whatever 2005 had to offer, and I had some sweet glasses back then. I was excited for lots of things. But I think about my wedding day. I'll always remember the birth of my four sons. Like, those days just stand in my mind as major days in my life. I'll never forget the day that I gave my heart to the Lord. I'd like to forget what I was wearing, probably, but I will never forget where I was when I where I made Jesus my God, where I made him my Savior. I will never forget the first time that I really knew I heard God speaking to me. It was like, wow, he actually, like, it's true. Like, I feel like God just spoke to me. I will never forget that moment. Thankfully, that's not the only time God's spoken to me, right? That God is continuing to speak to us. It's just a matter of if we're listening. A few other big days I was thinking about in the business. You know, businesses, their first dollar they make, what do? Right? They put that dollar on the wall. You know, and hopefully that's not the only dollar that they make. If it is, it's probably time to, you know, try something else. But it's that first dollar. Not that that first dollar is any more significant than the third, the fourth, the fifth, or the hundredth dollar, but that first dollar signifies the start of something hopefully great, right? So when we talk about destiny, when we talk about calling, we think of these, which I would call extraordinary days, right? Those moments in our walk with God where we knew he wanted to do something big and something grand in my life and in your life. And I love those days. Does anyone else love those days with the Lord when it was just a defining moment? I mean, that's what I pray for my sons on a regular basis, that they would have an encounter with God that would change them forever. Because I know what that does to them as they go through their life. It motivates them. It keeps them going. But unfortunately, and the truth of the matter is this morning, a lot of life is lived in between those extraordinary days. Okay, those extraordinary days remind us what we're doing. They propel us to keep going. They inspire us to keep running the race. But so much of life is lived in between the extraordinary days. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because just like the battles that we went through on our screen with our little history lesson 101, you're going to get a lot out of church, a little history, some Jesus. But out of the battles that we highlighted, for every battle we talked about, there are several battles that we don't talk about, right? But those battles are just as significant to the overall picture as the ones that we highlighted this morning. But those are the ones that, for whatever reason, get our attention, draw our interest, continue to stay at the surface of conversation. But every battle that was fought, without the significance of that battle, it's going to shape the entire picture, okay? Not just the ones that we talk about. You know, and if I think about our faith and talk about the different battles that are visible and not visible, I think about the heroes of our faith. And if you read your Bible in Hebrews, it talks about the different heroes of our faith, and we like in church to talk about them on a regular basis. But it's really deceiving when you look at the heroes of our faith, because we look at their big moments in life and we think that's what their whole life must have been about. But what we don't see in the Bible, unfortunately, is a lot that happened in between when God spoke to them and when they received the promise that God told them about. Okay, there's so much that happens in that middle point. You think about just a few. Moses, who led God's people out of captivity into the promised land. This is really depressing because when God spoke to Moses and said, you're going to be the one to lead my people, he was 80 years old. Ugh. Because in my mind, that seems pretty old, God, for you to speak to someone about the big part of their life. Well, I mean, I hope I live to 80, just in general. How about Joseph, who was one of the main leaders in his day. When God spoke to him, he spent 17 years in prison before he ruled in that nation. 17 years waiting in prison for God's promises to come true in his life. Now, I hate waiting 4 minutes for my Starbucks when I get a Starbucks. 17 years. Abraham and Sarah, another heroes we like to talk about because they received the promised son, Isaac. Okay, Abraham and Sarah, they waited 25 years from when God said, you're going to have a son, to when Isaac was born. 25 years. Again, when I was 23 and single, I was thinking, oh God, am I ever going to get married? Right? And so were you, maybe. King David, who we're going to talk about this morning, it says he was anointed as king about 8 to 10 years old. He was anointed to be the king of Israel. 8 to 10, which I'm thinking, hey, that's a pretty good start, right? 8 years old, you're going to be king. I'll take that. But then he was 30 by the time he became king of Israel. 20 years. So I don't know about you, but right now, if you're feeling discouraged, it gets better. It gets better. Because right now, you may be thinking, I'm a really impatient person. Because you just pretty much depressed us with all your stats of how long it's going to be until God does something significant in my life. You know what? I'm impatient too. Or you may be really discouraged because you figure you have a lot of waiting left to do. Okay, don't worry. We're all in the same boat together with that. But the theme is God is not in a hurry when he speaks. Unfortunately, sometimes. He's not in a hurry, but I want to say this morning that God is never late. Okay, God is not in a hurry, but he's never late. Because when God speaks something, he's after something. He's not just speaking things just because he likes to hear his own voice. He's speaking things because he's after something. And let me tell you, he's not just after the end result. I'll never forget when I was a cocky younger man thinking that God needed me. Someone said, you know, if you're not obedient to what God wants, he'll just find someone else that is obedient. And I thought, no, he needs me. Well, he's God. So if he wanted to do anything, he's going to do it in spite of me or not. So when we're talking about the call of God, we've got to understand a few things. We need to understand what God's first priority is when he speaks. Because God's first priority when he speaks isn't the end result. God's motivation and God's first priority when he speaks, a calling, a dream, a destiny, is to accomplish something that he wants to change inside of your heart first. Whenever God speaks, and we can look back through these examples, his primary reason for speaking was to capture his children's heart. Okay, the secondary reason for him to speak was to accomplish what he wanted them to do. But I think in society and Christianity, we always like to think about the second one first. We like to think of, oh, God's calling me to these great things, but God's calling you to the great things because God wants to change and transform your heart first. And then it is to see whatever he's called you to do. Okay, 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says this. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to him. God's number one priority in our lives is to change a heart that makes it more committed to his plans and his purposes. Okay, that is it. God is looking for sons and daughters, that's you and I, that are fully committed to God's plans and God's purposes. He's not just looking for people because there's stuff to do. He's looking for hearts that are going to commit to him. I wrote this down this week. I said, the outcome of what happens in your life is a reflection of your relationship with Christ. Okay, everything that happens in your life is a reflection of what's going on in the inside. Okay, and realizing that your dreams in God are not the goal, but they're the byproduct. Now, I have some great things I want to do for God. I believe I've done some things. I believe that I want to do greater things. But those are not the goal of my walk with God. They are the byproduct of the relationship that I have with him. Because God's first priority is to capture your heart and to capture my heart. And so I'll say this, that God wants to use ordinary moments, ordinary relationships, ordinary circumstances, ordinary struggles to prepare you for the extraordinary things that he wants to do in your life. It's in the ordinary things that God is not just using, but God is wanting to prepare a place in our hearts. You know, I think about the times that I felt like I've been waiting for God. Anyone else feel like they've ever waited for God? I'm not going to set you up. You can raise your hands, okay? Yeah, I have too. I felt like I've been waiting. And a lot of times in my mind, I view those waiting things as kind of like I would wait for my wife when she's late. Not that she's ever late, ever, because she's so punctual and so on time. But whenever we have a date and we have a babysitter and we're paying like a kidney for a babysitter every hour, and we're literally sitting there, I want to be away from the babysitter and the kids, and I get irritated when I have to wait for my wife. And she just says, I'm just wanting to look more pretty for you. Right, but I get irritated, and a lot of times I find that's how my relationship with God is. Is I find that as I'm waiting for God to do the big thing, I'm finding myself getting irritated with him. When all of a sudden I remember that God is probably doing this on purpose because he has me in a season of training. Sometimes our waiting, if we would view it more like God wants to teach us and God wants to train us through those things, we're not going to get frustrated with the process. But like I do with my wife, I just think, God, you're late. God, I'm frustrated. God, you're not even speaking. And he says, will you learn what I want you to learn through this process? Because you're not just waiting. He's trying to get something across to your heart and to your mind. So God's first priority is our heart. Number two, we need to understand this, and I can do it in the natural really easy. Number two, the same field of the ordinary is where the extraordinary happens. The same field of the ordinary is where the extraordinary happens. You think about, I'm a sports guy, you think about the amazing things that have happened on the sport fields. Well, it's the same field where it's a boring game. Right? Like, man, you have these great moments on the field, but then you have these other games that's like, it's the same in our lives. The field of the ordinary is the same field where the extraordinary happens. I want to show you one more picture. I guess I lied to you. I said one more. I got one more picture I want to show you. Another valley this morning. That's pretty good, huh? No one cheered. No one clapped, right? It's just what? Because it's just a normal valley, right? Just green, needs to be weed whacked. It's just, yeah, it's green. It's got a dirt road through the middle. Nothing special about that valley. It's an ordinary valley. You know, this is what we're looking at today is one of the most famous battles that took place through biblical history that we know to this day. In fact, without this valley, I'm not sure what Christianity would have looked like. This is the Valley of Elah, K-E-L-A-H. And we read about the Valley of Elah in 1 Samuel 17. So you can turn in your Bibles, and I want to just read a story. I'm going to start with verse 1. It says this. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Sakkah, which belongs to Judah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah. And they drew up in the line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain. We can go back to that picture for a minute. Imagine them standing on the mountain. I don't know which mountain. On one side. And Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Okay, so do you get a picture of what was going on? We've got two armies that are on the two different mountaintops, and we've got this valley of Elah in the middle. Okay, so again, I don't know why I'm Mr. History today, but just a little bit of history. We've got to understand what was going on at this time in the story. Is God's people controlled most of the high country? Okay, they had, you know, won their battles and they were victorious in the high country. And their enemy, the Philistines, they were in control of the coast and the plains. OK, Okay, and then you had in the middle between the mountains and the coast, you had this valley. Okay, you had this middle ground in the middle of two strongholds. Okay, and this whole valley that we're talking about is called the Valley of Sephula. Okay, so this Sephula, so this valley, Sephula, served as the middle ground to the two strongholds back in the day. Okay, way back. Okay, and this Valley of Sephula consisted of five valleys. Okay, the one we're talking about today is Elah. Okay, today, as we're talking about valleys, we've got to understand that valleys in our lives represent the middle ground. Okay, the valleys that are in your life, they're talking about that middle ground. They're talking about those seasons of transition. They're talking about the difference. You've got the strength, you've got the weakness, and then you've got the gray. Right? You've got the black, the white, you've got the gray. Okay, that's what valleys represent in our life, is the middle ground. Okay, it speaks of the ordinary. It speaks of just the journey. The valley speaks of where character is developed in your life. The valley speaks of where trust is earned in your life. The valley speaks of where your faith in God grows, the middle ground, where your priorities are reordered. Okay, the valley represents the time that the promises spoke and the time that the promises fulfilled. Okay, it's the middle ground. You guys have some valleys in your life? You feel like I've just been walking, but I'm just getting tired. I'm not seeing much. Okay, that's a valley. Here's what I know about the valleys. The valleys is where most people quit. Right? In the mundane, in the ordinary. It's where you give up. So what's interesting about our valley, the Valley of Sephula, it means the place of humility. Not the good humility. Okay, we all say, oh, that's so good. It means humility. I need more humility. No. What this humility means, you know, have you ever been embarrassed and humiliated? Yeah, me too. Sometimes on a daily basis, no kidding. It's called self-infliction. You do it to yourself. Maybe. Right, but this valley of Sephula, it means the place of humility with the emphasis on the humiliation or the embarrassment. So could I say, if you don't know our story, this is the field that David fought Goliath. Okay, we're reading in 1 Samuel. Could I say that this was the valley that was meant to humiliate David? Could I say that this was the valley that was meant to embarrass David? Okay, I'm drawing that conclusion myself. Could this be the valley that David was saying, God, did you really send me here? In the ordinary. God, I don't think I should be here. The Valley of Sephula. Here's the good news this morning. In the middle of this Valley of Sephula stood Elah. The Valley of Elah. And this is what Elah means. It symbolizes the breaking of a curse. And it's a sign of durability. So in the middle of the valley that was meant to embarrass you, right, is a valley that means breaking of a curse and is a sign of durability. And it's durability because of what grows in this valley. They're similar to oak trees. Okay, I wrote it down, the terebinth tree. Okay, I think it's a pistachio family or something like that. But it means durability. So in the middle of this place of embarrassment can be a place where curses over your life are broken. Okay, another thing for breaking curses, it could mean where a place where you defy the odds. Because if you look at the story of David, he defied the odds. Right? He broke something over his life and over the life of his people to come, his kingdom. in the place that was meant to take him out and embarrass him. And he grew a spirit of durability. How many of you know that in the midst of walking through the ordinary ho-hum days of life, you're going to grow a spirit of durability? That God wants to teach you what it means to persevere. That God wants to teach you what it means to trust in him. In the valley of the ordinary. It's in this valley where you do things that you've never thought of, where you conquer fears, where you defeat enemies, where you rely on strength that you didn't know you had. Have you ever had someone say to you, I don't know how you got through what you're going through in your life? Has anyone ever said that? I don't know how you're doing it. Well, guess what? You just do it. You walk through it, and God gives you strength, right? That's what we're talking about. And as you are faithful to walk through the valleys of the ordinary, you put yourself in a position to receive that extraordinary moment. The truth this morning is that our acts of obedience to do what God asks us to do always puts us in a place to receive a measure of our inheritance and a measure of the extraordinary. It's an act of obedience. Because King David didn't go to the Valley of Elah to fight the Goliath. We can continue in our story out of 1 Samuel. It says this, going to 17, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. And Jesse, who's David's father, said to his son, take your brothers this parched grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousand. See if your brothers are well. Bring some token from them. Check in on them. Verse 19, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the Valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went as his father had commanded him. So we've got to understand that 5 years before this moment, David had been anointed to be king of that army that was fighting. But he wasn't even in the fight. He wasn't even there. The future king is at home watching sheep. Okay. David went on this journey to deliver food, do what servant boys do, not planning on fighting, not planning on walking into the moment that would redefine history. Not planning on it. Simply obeying what his dad told him to do. Right? Parents, you can nudge your teenager right now if you want to hear that. Right? Simply obedient to the voice that was at hand in his life. I believe many people miss their moments of Elah, their Elah moments, okay, what we're talking about. They miss that moment because they fail to say yes to God on a daily basis. You see, these past 5 years of King David's life, God wasn't just like having him wait. But God was accomplishing a heart inside of King David that was going to be so obedient to the voice of his father. He was being trained through the things that were asked of him on that day. You know, if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, I was reminded of the scriptures we looked to close today. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord, your labor, is not in vain. Knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. So this morning, I'm talking to the people who are in the middle. I'm talking to the people who are in the midst of the ordinary, who are in the midst of saying, I haven't seen the promises fulfilled. I want to encourage you with 1 Corinthians 15, that you would be steadfast, that you would be immovable, that you would always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So if you're in the season of the middle, would you be steadfast in your focus? Would you be unmovable with what God's called you to walk in today, tomorrow? Another word we talk about, okay, immovable. What does it mean to be immovable? If you look that up in the dictionary, immovable means like you would tie a bike to a lamppost. Meaning you're hitching your bike to something that can't be uprooted. So this morning, what are you hitching your dreams to? What are you hitching what God's called you to? Is it hitched to Him or is it hitched to something that's temporal? And I felt like this. Worship team, you can come up this morning. I want to pray this morning for some people. But I want to say this morning, that you don't have to worry about what you think was lost. Because I've heard people say, I feel like I've been serving God for 20, 30 years, but I feel like it was just wasted. Can I say that nothing done in the name of the Lord is wasted? Nothing done in the name of God is wasted. Okay, nothing done in the name of God is wasted. Nothing. And I think that there's a lie out there that the enemy would say, man, you've been serving God for so long, and it's wasted. There's a scripture in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, and it says this. It says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Can you stand up this morning? Here's what I want to do. I want to pray because I feel like we talk about calling, we talk about destiny, and I feel like it's in the middle that we say, God, I feel like you've called me, but I don't see anything. And I feel like the Lord wants to say what he said in Habakkuk, write the vision down, make it plain on the tablets, so you may run who reads it. You know, King David, we know the end of the story. If you don't know, he ran and he defeated his Goliath. And he freed God's people. He was victorious. And now I feel like this morning that God said, would you just be faithful to do what I've called you to do? Would you keep that vision before yourself? So though it may be delayed, I haven't forgot about it. So here's just what I want to do. Noah, can you just sing? You can close your eyes. I just want to focus on the Lord for a minute because I believe that he wants to strengthen hearts today.
And taking me over, taking me over. And all I want is to be with you forever. Your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. So pull me a little closer. Take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Because your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart.
Oh, oh. How great is your
this morning. We're going to dismiss. I'm just going to have Ted come share briefly this morning, just as what he's feeling as I'm sharing, because it goes right along with this.
So, just an awesome word this morning. It's exactly where I'm at. So, the book of Acts, the miracles that God did in the early church, covers 30 years of history from the day of Pentecost, right after Christ died, through Paul's life and ministry. 30 years, and you had four of the most amazing men of God on the earth at that time. There was Peter, the apostle. There was James, the brother of Jesus. There was Paul, the apostle. And then you had John, Jesus' best friend. And if you look at that, there's less than one chapter, less than one major miracle per year. Those four guys on the earth. And sometimes we come to Christ and we think, well, man, God's going to do all these amazing things, all these miracles. Paul's greatest sermon was in Athens, the city of wisdom. Athena was the goddess of wisdom, so it was worldly wisdom. And he gave a sermon when he said, you worship what you don't know, but God in these times has revealed himself and he calls all men to repentance. And many people came to Christ. That perhaps his greatest sermon, but he was waiting in town to do something else. He had a few days to kill, so he was walking around, and he literally stumbled into it. You can't plan these things, how God's going to use you, how God's going to work in you.
Come on.
So in Protestantism, there's five solas. Sola is Latin for only. There's sola fide, only by faith. There's sola gratia, only by grace. There is sola scriptura, only in scripture. There's sola Christus, only through Christ. But the last one is sola Deo gloria, only to the glory of God. And it's God who's working in you, who has been from day one. And it may take, like David, 18 years. It may take Caleb 40 years. But he who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. Don't be discouraged, even if it takes years, even if it takes decades.
Amen. Amen. Come on, so here's what I'm doing. I just want to pray for people this morning. So just right where you're at, if you're saying, man, I need encouragement, I feel like I'm in the middle, now's your time, right? So just with your eyes closed, if that's you, let's lift our hands to the Lord, because I just want to pray encouragement over us this morning, because David encouraged himself in the Lord. Okay, so if you're in the middle of those moments, I believe God wants to encourage you this morning. So Father, you see every hand, you see every heart. Father, the hands that are raised. Father, I thank you, Father, that you have people in a season of training. Father, that in the midst of us walking through the ordinary, Father, you're preparing us for a place of the miracle. You're preparing us for a place of the extraordinary. And Father, I pray, God, that your word would accomplish what it wants to accomplish in our hearts. Father, for every person that feels like I'm just waiting and I'm not seeing the miracles, Father, would they be faithful to walk in what you've called them to walk in today? Father, I pray, Father, that in the midst of the walking, Father, that they would defy the odds. Father, that there would be a spirit of durability that would be formed in their heart. Father, just like David, as he stepped out and was obedient, Father, you met him. Father, I ask this week that you would meet every person that's walking in the middle. And Father, I declare that the valleys that meant to embarrass, to humiliate, would be valleys where curses are broken. Father, I thank you that you've called us to walk. God, I thank you for the dreams that you've given people. Father, and even if they haven't seen an ounce of the fulfillment of that dream, Father, we call it into its fullness today. Father, we speak it into existence. Father, would you continue to lead your people as we walk after your heart and after your voice? Father, I thank you that we are called by you, and where you call us, you're faithful to finish the work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Hey, let's go walking through the middle. Enjoy your day. God bless you. See you next time.